Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob on the other side of the glass. In a few moments, we'll be hearing from Tucson mayoral candidate Steve Farley. Steve should be on the phone line very soon. Not quite sure why he's not with us yet. But Steve, if you're out there, hey, man, call now. This is the start of your Tucson mayoral campaign. We want to hear from you, man. So give us a call, Steve Farley, wherever you are. Bob Dio, as I say, producing and engineering the program on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, January 24th, 2019. You're listening to AM 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk with worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And, of course, you can hear our programs. We've got 24-7, really. On your schedule, you can log into buckmastershow.com, and there will be 8 years worth of programs archived since we began this venture back in the first week of January in 2011. So our live line number 790-2040. And while we're waiting for Steve Farley, I'm just going to open up the phone lines and say to you, are you sick and tired of this government shutdown like I am? This is ridiculous. And I see people like Mitch McConnell with a big smile on his face as he's walking in the halls of Congress. Come on. What are you talking about? What are you smiling about? We've got government 800,000 people at risk of losing their homes. So if you think this is right, call me right now. I want to hear from you. Do you think this government shutdown has any validity at all? Should we be bargaining with using these people, these 800,000 people, as bargaining chips for the border wall? 790-2040 is our live line number, and give us a call right now. And I want to hear from you about what you think. So, and now I've just got a message. We're supposed to call Steve Farley. Well, give me the number, AJ, if you're listening right now, and I'll get it over to Bob. I didn't realize that we were supposed to call Steve. Okay, so let's see. Okay. Bob, are you listening? Okay. 780-2238, 780-2238, and could have been my mistake, but anyway, we were supposed to call Steve. It's Buckmaster on AM 1030, Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk in our brand new studios. Actually, we're beginning week two in the new studios. We launched the new studios last Wednesday. And still working out a few bugs, but other than that, things seem to be going very well. And now nobody is answering. Is that correct, Bob? Oh, we are off to a terrific start here on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Still, let's see what they're saying to me right now. 780-2238. Bob, did you try that number?
I will try him again. I also have Keith Rosenblum if you want to chat with him.
Okay, Keith, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing well, thank you. Always good to hear your voice.
Hey,
I know it's mutual.
I am sick and tired of this shutdown, man. Are you?
It's irrelevant in my life. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know how else to say it. However, it causes me anger when I have time to devote the anger to it. But as the Rosenblums on Aaron are concerned, it does tick me off, correct? But it doesn't affect us.
The whole thing about the border wall, how are Mexicans viewing this? By the way, Keith Rosenblum is our Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico. How are they viewing this?
Oh, man, as comedy.
Yeah.
You couldn't ask for a more... This may even one up the telenovelas, which Mexico produces all of the good soap opera for Latin America and now for the U.S. market as well. And so I think that we're entertaining them with a plot line that didn't require screenwriters. We're just able to give them their own reality TV show. That's my take on it. It's not going to happen, but it really is the fodder for entertainment. Mexico right now has its own telenovelas or soap operas going on in other areas, but I believe that this is just daily entertainment for the entire country.
Keith, I've got Steve Farley, our Tucson mayoral candidate, but I do appreciate...
You get that guy on. My pleasure, Bill. We will hook up with you later.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Steve Farley, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing well. Sorry about the confusion here. Steve Farley, candidate for mayor. I was looking over your resume. It's very impressive, going back all the way to... 2006, you led the role, the leading role, the establishment of the Regional Transportation Authority, responsible for many major road improvements and projects, including the Tucson Modern Streetcar, something that you had advocated for years before it became reality. And for folks that don't know, you served as a state senator and a state legislator in the House of Representatives, and of course ran for governor last time around, unsuccessful there, but now you would like to be the mayor of the city of Tucson. Why, Steve, are you running?
Well, I'm really excited to be able to serve the city I love. This is a place that is home for me. It's home for so many of us who just love the smart, passionate people we have around here, the culture, the outdoors, the people, the food. There's so many great things about Tucson. To have the opportunity to lead this city I love would be amazing. And given my experience, as you've mentioned, in the legislature, I understand how that place works or doesn't work. I think that given the relationships I've built up there on both sides of the aisle, I think we'll be able to get things through that will help Tucson, but perhaps even more importantly, we'll be able to protect Tucson from the attacks that have been constantly launched from the legislature on us. I think they're less likely to be launched in the first place with me as mayor, and if they do get launched, I know how to shut them down early. So that's important, but also bringing people together and creating the kinds of projects like the Regional Transportation Authority. We're going to have to work on some very difficult issues, like water coming up, climate change, with President Trump doing things that are damaging our community every day, especially as this shutdown continues. We're going to have to figure out ways of protecting our community from those types of attacks as well. So my experience in being able to govern in a visionary way, come up with great policy solutions that can move us forward, will build on the successes that Mayor Rothschild has brought forward as he's brought our city into a more fiscally stable position and represent our values to our community and beyond.
Let me ask you, are you your opponent, Tucson City Councilwoman Regina Romero, right now it's pretty much you two involved in this mayoral race, both of you Democrats. What about the Sanctuary City movement that is going on right now? Are you backing that, or are you cautious, as when the mayor was on our program last week saying that he has some real concerns?
Well, I have a history of working with refugee communities and asylum seekers to defend their ability to have a good life in this country. And so I've been doing that for a long time. In 2015, I founded a group called Arizona Welcomes Refugees. When Donald Trump and Doug Ducey were saying we don't want more refugees in this country, I was standing up for them and helping these people who are running from terror in their own homes so that they could have a better life here. And I was helping, making sure they knew they were welcome. This is the engine of our future economy. So I'm very concerned with our immigrant communities and their feeling safe here. But I'm a little bit worried about this one. I haven't taken a position either way at this point. But I'm a little bit worried because TPD is doing a pretty good job right now at making sure that these communities feel safe, that they're protected from attacks from Donald Trump. They have certain guidelines and policies that are already in place that aren't that different from what the Sanctuary City Initiative would do. And I'm concerned that if we bring on a huge public fight about this, this could unleash a whole lot of forces where the very people that the people who are pushing this are trying to protect could actually become endangered because this would end up being something that you would get. People like Donald Trump, people like the conservatives in Phoenix would see us as a target, and the target would be on the backs of the existing refugees and asylum seekers who are just trying to be left alone to start a good life. So I'm very concerned about the political aspects about this one. We are a welcoming community. We've done a pretty good job of it so far. To invite an unnecessary political fight isn't necessarily in the best interest of those people we're trying to help.
All right, Steve Farley, stick around. We'll talk with you in a few moments. But first, my favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve and his team create a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries. Open right now for lunch at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. On the web at monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, there's a link to all of our great partners at buckmastershow.com. We'll be back with Steve Farley, candidate for Tucson mayor, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The 13-acre site is now home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Check out greenthingsaz.com for more. It is Buckmaster, and we're on AM 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Steve Farley with us on the live line. Some of our Facebook friends, Steve, want to know a couple of things about your platform. Let's begin with crime prevention and increasing the manpower of Tucson Police Department.
Well, one of the things I've heard from a lot of people in neighborhoods across the city, and I'm trying to visit as many neighborhood association meetings as I can, is people are really, really concerned with the longer response times that we've been seeing from TPD. We've got to cut down those response times, and that means more commissioned officers on the street. We have to figure out a way of doing that. We've also got to commit to our firefighters, making sure that we have the adequate staffing to be able to reduce their response times as well, because public safety is probably the number one thing we need to provide in our community.
Okay, here's another one for you. What about roads? What is your platform about road improvement? We've been making some really good progress, I think, in the city of Tucson. Would that continue as Steve Farley as mayor?
Well, that's one of the key things that I bring to this position is my role in helping to create the Regional Transportation Authority in the first place. You know, Bill, because you've been around here watching the struggles over almost 40 years of failure trying to get a regional transportation plan and funding source in place. It only changed in 2002 when the RTA process, or 2003 when the RTA process started. I was really one of the originators when I had my own initiative on the ballot to try to build rail transit, increase the bus system, neighborhood street maintenance, bikeways, and sidewalks, and it went down after the home builders and the car dealers decided to spend a bunch of money against it. But I did not despair. I went over to the home builder's office. I reached out, talked with the CEO at the time, and said, we're going to have to stop beating each other up and get together and figure out what we have in common on infrastructure. So a lot of other people started doing that around that time. And in 2006, I helped create in 2004, 2005, the plan that would become the RTA, I was part of the campaign team, where I was working across the table from people who were very prominent business Republicans like Jim Click, and getting that thing done. And we won for the first time in 40 years, 60-40. And that investment in the RTA is part of why the recession didn't hit us as badly as it otherwise would have, because we had projects in place and jobs being created. We've seen the transformation of downtown and beyond. We've seen all over the city. We've had great projects happening. And we can get around a lot better. We've got a much better bus system. We've got bikeways and sidewalks being built everywhere. That's exactly the sort of thing we need to continue to push on as we look at renewal of RTA. So my role in bringing people together from across the region to do these types of investments that boost our economy and make our quality of life better in our transportation, that's definitely one of the key things I bring to the table, and I'm going to be continuing to push that.
790-2040, if you'd like to ask Steve Farley, candidate for mayor, a question. We had a caller who wants to know why you backed the modern streetcar when you knew at the time there were no replacement parts for the streetcar?
I don't know where that question comes from, but there are plenty of replacement parts. There are plenty of people doing streetcars. There's more and more rail transit happening in this country. And anyone who has seen what downtown was like, even as little as 7 or 8 years ago, and compare it to what it's like now, thousands of jobs have been created. The only thing we need to do now is expand that economic engine that the streetcar is to areas in the east side, the south side, and the north side. There are plenty of plans we can do that, and I've been pushing a plan to be able to have the extensions being privately funded so that we can all benefit from that without actually having to pay for it. And the economic development effect of rail transit enables us to be able to have those options. But we've got to work on our neighborhood streets as well. That's vitally important for all of us. There are a lot of neighborhood street maintenance that needs more work. The city's done a pretty good job at that, but we need to continue to emphasize on how that works. All different types of transportation will help us. And our streets, as we develop them, should make sure that there are complete streets. There are streets that work for everybody who uses the street, bicyclists, pedestrians, the cars that are on them, our transit systems. Everything should work. Because roads don't just go through our community, they are part of our community, not just getting people from one place to the other, but they're right in the middle of us, too. So they need to work for people of all types in all modes.
Will you be defining yourself as the pro-business candidate in your battle with Councilwoman Rahina?
Well, I support business strongly, and I always have, and I think there's a lot of members of the business community who understand that even if they're Republicans, they see me as a guy they can work with.
Mm-hmm.
The RTA process was an example of how that happened. I run my own business. I've been a small business owner since 1991. I'm a graphic designer and public artist. My biggest piece of work people know is those big murals on Broadway just east of downtown, people walking down the street in the 1950s. And I do that work all over the country. I invented that process. So I understand what it is to be able to create jobs in the community from business. We do need to make sure that the business community gets respect as well. But this is going to be a mayorship which includes all voices. I want to be able to listen to everybody. I want to get out there to the neighborhood associations, talk about neighborhood issues. My campaign chair is Yolanda Herrera, who is the chairman of the Sunnyside Neighborhood Association. She's the president down there. She's a great neighborhood activist from the South Side, I think that we can actually solve a lot of the problems and traditional battle lines that we've seen in Tucson. We can bring people together because we've got to have vibrant businesses, great jobs, and vibrant communities in which to live. And I don't see a contradiction between them.
All right. We will look forward soon in having you in our brand new studios here, Steve. We're a frequent guest, certainly, over the years in what we were fondly recall the linen closet. Well,
exactly.
Well,
but now you've got a full-on media empire. Now.
We do. We've got a whole broadcast center here. A quick question came in on my email, bill@buckmastershow.com. Scott wants to know, what is Steve's stance on ward-only elections and this effort to try to put the ward-only elections on the November ballot?
Well, you know, I remember back in the days when, a lot of this is being pushed by people who are Republicans now, but we used to have a council member, Kathleen Dunbar, in the very Democratic Ward 3, who wasn't elected by the people in her own ward. We had Fred Ronstadt in Ward 6, who wasn't elected by the people in his own ward. To me, I think ward-only isn't that bad of an idea. Ultimately, I don't have a problem, even if it led to a Republican being on the council. I don't have a problem with there being a diversity of voices on the council. I think we all benefit from having a thorough discussion of what's going to be best for our community from all perspectives. Additionally, if we were ever to a point where we were going to make the case of annexation of the foothills or the Northwest Side, I think the folks up there would like to see that they would have a council member of their own who would be reporting to them and not vetoed by the rest of the city. So I think that's an idea worth exploring. I haven't taken a position on that exact initiative yet. I think there are different ways of doing it. But I think it's an interesting one worth exploring. I like looking at new ideas that could help us.
And so at this point anyway, you would see no problem with letting people vote on that.
Oh, absolutely no problem. I think it's worth putting it to the voters and decide whether or not it's something we do. As a charter city, I think the courts were absolutely right, ruling that we have the right to decide as the people of Tucson exactly how we want to run our city, and that's the way that the charter currently reads. But if the people vote to decide to change that charter to word only, I would have no problem with that.
All right. Is there a website up yet, Steve Farley?
There certainly is. And if you want to get involved in this campaign, I suggest you go to steveforTucson.com. You can sign up to volunteer. You can contribute. You can find out more about me, and you can contact me through the website. Again, that's steveforTucson.com.
Steve Farley, thank you very much. Hope you have a great day. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. I will. I appreciate being on, Bill.
Thank you very much. Steve Farley, Democratic candidate for mayor. And for fans of Regina Romero, we are working to schedule Regina here in the coming weeks. Look like right now, probably somewhere around mid-February, but we will have her on the show certainly for a half hour as well. We're at the midway point. It's Buckmaster on AM 1030, Tucson's most trusted voice for news and talk. Coming up next, we'll be talking Oro Valley. Mary Jacobs, waiting in the waiting room. She is next on Buckmaster. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. It's time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and southern Arizona through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of nearly $25 billion, that's billion with a B, and 155 company locates and expansions supporting more than 44,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me in studio, Mary Jacobs is here. Mary is the town manager for Oro Valley. Mary, how are you?
Great. Bill, thank you so much for the invitation to be on your show today.
How do you like our new studios?
It's amazing. It's way bigger than your previous space.
Linen closet.
Right. It was a linen closet for sure.
Well, we're very happy to be here in the new studios now. Been in here a little over a week. Where do you think Oro Valley fits into the whole regional overall business attraction strategy that I was just talking about and articulating? How this huge impact so far, lots of jobs impacted. Where's Oro Valley in the picture?
You know, that's a great question. Oro Valley is a wonderful hub for the bioscience. We've got a great cohort of amazing businesses in our Innovation Park area and lots of opportunities to build on that cohort. And as you know, that is one of the target areas for Sun Corridor and, frankly, the greater Tucson region. So we think we're a great partner in that area. We also have several defense contractors, defense firms in Oro Valley, and we think we're a great location for future expansions. As you know, Honeywell is right off of Oracle Road, just outside the town limits, but right in the midst of the town of Oro Valley. We've got a couple of other contractors. But one other really exciting area that we're thrilled about is the future opening of the veterinary college that the University of Arizona is in the midst of doing. And they will have their first cohort starting, their first students, in the fall of 2020. And so the opportunities to bring in businesses that are related in that bio sector and the veterinary science, I think there's just an amazing opportunity. We're working very closely with Sun Corridor on different business leads.
Where is that veterinary center going to be located specifically?
Specifically it is north of where the El Conquistador resort is, on off of Oracle, on the east side. So it's in a business park in a building that the University of Arizona has owned for some time, and they're renovating it. They've now hired a new dean. They have to finish getting their final accreditation, but they feel very confident about it.
Being a huge animal welfare advocate, I am so glad that we're getting that vet school.
We're thrilled.
We really need it. There's a shortage of vets. Our own Pima County Animal Center has a shortage right now. They've been looking for a vet, so there's really a huge need there.
Yes, absolutely.
You've been with Oro Valley as the town manager now for 18 months. A little bit about your background. Where did you start in municipal government?
Well, before this position, I spent the last 17 years as the assistant city manager in Sierra Vista. So, came from a what really is a military town with
sure.
the largest military installation in the state of Arizona. So Oro Valley is a little bit different. And then prior to that, I was an assistant town manager for a community on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. It's been really a tremendous opportunity to be the manager in Oro Valley. This is my hometown. I grew up here in Tucson.
Really?
And went to high school here and went to the University of Arizona for my undergraduate and graduate degree. In fact, my father is a retired professor from the U of A.
Very good.
So
what
definitely
area
my
was
home.
He
agriculture.
Oh.
He was a soils scientist, Dr. Don Post. I'm sure people listening will people will go, oh, I had Don Poe. Oh, I had Dr.
Yeah,
Post.
That name sounds very familiar. So priorities that you had set 18 months ago, where are those priorities right now, Mary, and how are you moving forward with them?
Well, you know, a couple of the areas that I really jumped on, first of all, it was really important for me to take some time to get to know the community, get to know the needs, the organization, the team. I think I'm definitely, you know, making progress in that area. I noted right away that we needed to do a little effort in economic development. And so about a year ago, I did a little reorganization, broke up a very large department, and moved economic development in with our planning, permitting, and building functions, kind of tying them all together. And so since then, brought in a really high qualified director to oversee that operation, and he has developed a new economic development strategy. So I think that's a lot over the past year. He's only been with us for about 7 months. And then internal efficiencies is really important to me. We started an internal lean initiative for our employees that we're calling our OV Peak Performance. And if you've ever talked with some of the folks up at the state, Governor Ducey has implemented a similar type of process improvement initiative, and we're already we've trained all of our employees so far, and they're starting to just come up with some amazing ideas on how we can, using data, figure out how we do things better. And that's not just good for the community; that's good for our employees as well. And then there's, you know, right now my focus, of course, is on working with my new council. And so we just completed a 2-day strategic planning retreat with them, get their strategic direction, and we'll be including their priorities in the upcoming budget.
Yeah, we had Mayor Winfield on the program
yes.
Tuesday, and he said it's a learning curve, you know, but you've got a new mayor and 3 new council members, so they are getting up to speed as we speak.
They sure are.
I know you believe very strongly, as do I, in mentoring and supporting young people, and especially you've tried to support women in local government. How's that going?
You know, that's one of my real passions. I'm really passionate about local government. I love what I do. I love the service that we provide to our residents, and I love seeing other people get involved in local government as a career, particularly city management. So I've really spent a lot of my time and effort and career to figure out how can I reach out to others in this field, particularly women. One of the areas that I noted, particularly at the city management level, is there aren't a lot of women at the city management level. And so I was on the board of the International City County Management Association, got involved in some women's mentoring issues there, and as well as the state association here. In fact, just next month, we're going to be establishing a women leading government chapter here in Southern Arizona. And we have nearly 100 women from the region in local government, that's regional and city government, participating. And I'm just really excited about what I can do to network these women together and support their careers in the future.
We're speaking with Mary Jacobs, the town manager of Oro Valley. She's been in that position 18 months. You're on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Mary, looking ahead, what are your goals for 2019?
Obviously, my first priority is to make sure that that I meet those expectations of the new council. So getting that direction from them was really important. they have they've made it clear that they do support continued focus on economic development, and so we've got a number of strategies that we'll be putting into that top priority for this coming year, coming 2 years. Things like recommending an incentive policy for the council consideration, looking at ways in which we can expand our primary sector job attraction, that kind of thing.
And they're all on board with Sun Corridor.
They are. Yes, I've gotten no pushback at all. They understand the importance of being a part of a regional network. And and then, of course, our council right now is focused on wanting to, you know, take another look at the community center and golf course. So they're having a study session on Monday about that. And based on their direction, then we'll be taking a look and bringing back some new fresh look and, you know, kind of going from there.
Because that has kind of been the big issue driving the community and politics.
It has. No.
And for those that aren't in the community like myself, we kind of looked on it and it's kind of the one thing we heard about was this issue about the golf course.
Right. Yeah. It is. And you know, we will come to a conclusion and we'll figure out what is the best for the community. I'm confident of that. One of the things that the council is really interested in are those types of amenities and programs that really benefit the community. We plan to do a needs assessment of our parks and recreation. We want to really find out, what does our community want? What are they using? What's the utilization? How do we plan ahead and then eventually do a whole new master plan for our parks and rec, looking ahead at our future population as well? So those are all important. And then, of course, we've got a potential annexation of some state land that's under consideration right now, about 885 acres on the western edge of the town between Oro Valley and Marana.
Mary Jacobs, town manager for Oro Valley. Thank you for coming in, Mary.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here today, Bill.
This has been our SunCorridorInc.com CEO interview series. Want to thank Mary for coming in. For more information, visit SunCorridorInc.com. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we are excited to announce that our annual Travel Showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson, visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Don't you sometimes wonder how bigger-than-life historical figures were able to accomplish so much in just one lifetime? The former governor of Arizona, Ernest W. McFarland, was one of those characters. McFarland was a family man, Pinal County lawyer, judge, United States senator, not just a senator, but went on to be majority leader, Arizona Supreme Court justice, and ending his career as a broadcast industry executive here in the state. The story behind the legend is chronicled in a new book published by the University of Arizona Press titled Call Me Mac, Ernest W. McFarland, The Arizona Years. The author is lawyer and ASU law professor Gary Stewart. Mr. Stewart has written 11 books, including Miranda, The Story of America's Right to Remain Silent. Professor Stewart joins us on the live line now from Phoenix. How are you, sir?
Bill, I'm doing great. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you again. And we've interviewed you over the years after a couple of your books were published. You've had a very successful writing career. I was really amazed that Ernest W. McFarland was able to recover from a personal 20-month period that would have probably sidelined most people for the rest of their lives. He lost not only his wife, but three children to illness, and he recovered, and not only recovered, but in a very dramatic way.
He did indeed, and that recovery is such a big part of the story from Mac from 1919 to 1940. But it was largely an unknown story outside of Florence, or perhaps outside Pinal County. Not very many people knew about it. Mac didn't talk about it. There was no publicity about it. It was such a vital part of his private life that nobody knew about.
Was he a transformative governor, in your opinion?
He was a great governor in lots of different ways, but it was a fairly quiet period of time. And so transformative wasn't the way he governed at that level, but he certainly advanced Arizona as a state in lots of different ways, primarily from a business and an economical standpoint.
When his term, certainly at one point, he was a very, very powerful man in Washington. And there was even talk, I believe, in 1952 about him being a presidential candidate. Is that correct?
It is. Time magazine thought so. It profiled him in a summer article. Prior to that, of course, he was so close to Harry Truman. He and Harry Truman were senators together, were seatmates in the Senate. And when Harry became vice president and then went on to be the president, Harry Truman asked Mac to serve, to go on the next ballot with him as vice president. And Mac turned that down. And later Truman said, well, all right, how about I put you on the Supreme Court? I'll do that. That's when he was majority leader, and Mac said, no, I like it fine. my life's good. I love the Senate. I love being majority leader. So he turned down those two opportunities.
There had been some work done on his career from the biography, kind of his national career. You felt, though, Gary Stewart, that it was time to kind of shed some light on what you call the Arizona years. How would you characterize that period?
I would characterize it as a period of development and ambition and foresight. And maybe foresight's the wrong word. Maybe the visionary view of Mac during that time period. What makes the story so really vital is that no one thought in the 30s that anybody could beat Henry Fountain Ashurst, who was the first person to serve in the U.S. Senate from Arizona. He went in through the Constitutional Convention. They put him in the U.S. Senate as our first senator. He was the lion of the Senate in the 30s and could not be beat except by somebody like Mack. So that in and of itself is a great story. But that story probably would not have happened but for the two great tragedies in his life. The second of those two was, of course, the loss of Claire and their children in a very short 22-month period of time total. But he came back from that, and that's the story I wanted to tell. Jim McMillan, Professor McMillan, wrote this great political biography. I mean, it's 618 pages. It's an enormously well-done, thorough explanation of his political career. But out of all that 600 pages, there's less than 60 pages directed to his earlier life, his life before he went to the Senate. And that's what I wanted to deal with in my new biography of him. It's more of a personal biography than it is a political biography.
The fact that Ernest or Mac McFarland survived at all in 1918, he had joined the United States Navy. He went to boot camp at Great Lakes Naval Center north of Chicago, which, of course, is still there. I'm from the North Shore of Chicago, very much familiar with Great Lakes. But the fact that he survived, he came down with what was called erroneously the Spanish flu, and he developed pneumonia. And I believe there was he was in the hospital for was it a year or something like that?
More than that.
More than that.
33 days.
Yeah, and they did at the time, a life-saving operation, entering, taking out actually two of his ribs, and that must have been horribly painful.
It must have been. It's hard to imagine that in today's medical hospital environment. It really is hard to imagine, but he did survive it. One of the most amazing documents I've ever read is the second of three very short one-sentence telegrams from the United States Navy to his mother. And the second of those said, "McFarland in hospital, recovery doubtful."
Mm.
Period. That was it. That was the entire telegram.
Wow. What would you like the reader to take away, bottom line, Gary Stewart, to this new biography?
Well, I didn't know this when I did the research, and I really didn't know it as I was writing the book. But what I discovered and what I hope to have conveyed in the book is the comparison of how our world, our country, our political system operated before World War II, and how it operates today. So I think that's really the enormous takeaway from what I discovered. But to put it more simply, Mac was a politician in an era that now seems impossibly quaint.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, he read books.
Yeah,
he was well liked and completely trusted by the opposition party. At every conceivable level, he was never a showboat. Nobody ever doubted his ability or his trustworthiness or his stability. I mean, he stood for, at the state level, at the national level, and then back when he was at the state level again. He stood for decency and truth and the rule of law and the rule of nations.
Gary, I'm going to have to leave it right there because I want to tell people about your upcoming book signing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Next Tuesday evening at 6 at the UA Library Special Collections, everyone's invited to celebrate the life of Ernest W. McFarland, the release of Gary Stewart's new biography called Mac, Ernest W. McFarland, The Arizona Years. Joined by former UA Preston Peter Likens and Bert Knirk, Professor Stewart will share the little-known story of how Arizona's culture and citizens shaped this energetic, determined, and likable lawyer, Ernest W. McFarland. There'll be a reception afterwards, a chance to purchase books, and there'll be a book signing. Gary Stewart will also be appearing at this year's Tucson Festival of Books the first weekend of March. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of my friend Bob Dio, engineering and producing, have a great afternoon and evening.